May God add God's blessing to the hearing of this word, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. These words from the Gospel of John are really beautiful, and they are about Christmas. They're about the meaning of Christmas. Mark, when he starts his gospel, doesn't do anything about Christmas. He just starts with the baptism of Jesus. Matthew and Luke are where we find the stories of angels and shepherds and wise men. But John doesn't include any of those. He talks about what it means, not what happened, but what it means. And in doing so, he was speaking to a particular group of people. A lot of scholars believe that Matthew really aimed his gospel at people who were Jewish and had become Christians, or were thinking about it. And Luke kind of had as his audience people who were Gentiles, not Jewish, but who had heard the good news and were becoming followers of Jesus. But that John wrote his gospel for a fairly sophisticated group of people who were Gentiles, who were educated Greeks, who would be used to be reading and thinking in terms of the Greek philosophers and a certain kind of reasoning. And so when John writes his gospel, he uses their kind of language. Word Logos was big in Greek thinking. But it's just a different kind of expressing. John talks about what it means a lot. Not just what happened, but what it means. So what does it mean? Christmas. Not on Christmas Day, which we all think of celebrating the birth of Jesus in the stable and the shepherds coming and the wise men seeing the star and starting their journey. But what is Christmas, the word becoming flesh, Jesus becoming one of us, mean? Well, let's see, what is this? Is the eighth day of Christmas? No. Yeah, the eighth day of Christmas, 8 days after Christmas, or 8 weeks after Christmas, or 8 months after Christmas. What does it mean? When I was doing one of my daily devotions during Advent, I was watching a video, and the person who was talking said, in reference to preparing to celebrate the coming of Jesus among us, not just as that baby, but as that child who would grow up to become Jesus, the man, the preacher, the healer, the teacher, the Savior, he said Jesus came to be our representative. What does it mean? What comes to your mind when you think of the word that somebody is your representative? Anything particular? Nobody's talking this morning. It's okay. Well, of course, if you think politically, you think of somebody who represents us on the city council or Congress or the state government. But I got really intrigued with that thought. How is Jesus my representative? And I began to think about it, because Jesus is my representative and yours as well, and everybody's, in many different ways. One was reflected in the reading from Hebrews today. That Jesus represents us before the throne of God. We say our prayers. We ask Jesus to be there for us. There are other times in scriptures that talk about Jesus interceding for us. Jesus represents us to God, but Jesus also represents God to us. Jesus comes and reveals to us things that we need to understand about God in order to have the right kind of relationship with God, the kind of relationship where we can claim our inheritance of eternal life. But there's a third way. Jesus represents us to ourselves. In Jesus, we see, because Jesus is both divine and human, in Jesus we see what human life is meant to be like when it's lived in unity with God and God's purposes. And so Jesus is showing us what we're called to be. Of course, it's not really a mirror image because we usually fall short. But that's why Jesus came. Now, a couple of days after I was thinking, did that morning reflection, I got something posted on my Facebook from somebody who lives in the Quad Cities. Now, you may recall that I did an interim in the Quad Cities for 13 months after I supposedly retired, but that's how it usually goes. There's a bad old joke about what happens to ministers when they retire. They just go out to pastor. I know it's bad. That's the groaner for right now. But when I lived over, I was asked to do that kind of on short notice. Hope Church thought they had an interim lined up. Their pastor was retiring. Parker was retiring after about 20 years. And they thought they had an interim lined up, and then it fell through. So I got a call saying, would I go over and talk to them about possibly being their interim? And they wanted me to do it, and I thought, well, okay, I'll do it. But it was very short notice. This was November, beginning of November when they're talking to me, and they wanted me to start on the first Sunday of Advent, which was the end of November, because things had fallen through. They thought it was all set. Well, so I had to find, I said, they wanted me full time. I said, well, I'm not driving back and forth from the Quad Cities to here, you know, every day, so I need to have a little apartment over here someplace that I can stay during the week. Well, finding a place in like 3 weeks was a bit of a challenge, and I could not find anything that was suitable in Moline, where Hope Church is, or even in Rock Island, and I ended up getting a very perfect little apartment over in Davenport across the Mississippi River in Iowa. So every day, when I was over there, I was going back and forth crossing the river. Now, something started while I was there, a big project to build a new bridge between Moline and Davenport. And the picture that I got, Rhonda, can I have the first picture? On my Facebook looked something like this. And it had the words over it that said, it's open. This is kind of an artistic view of the new bridge. But I wasn't driving on that because they were just starting to put the pilings in the river to support this bridge. The bridge I drove across a couple times a day, sometimes more. Rhonda, can we have the second one? Was this old bridge. Now, this bridge, it's two spans of two lanes each. The first one was opened in the 1930s. And it was just two lanes, one going one direction, one going the other. And in the 1950s, they built up the parallel one, so you had two lanes going each direction, and that was opened in 1960. So, can we have the next picture? This is the view driving across that old bridge. It was kind of narrow. You know, and I don't think I ever saw a semi on that bridge. Now, whether there was a regulation prohibiting that because of how narrow it was and weight limits, or just good common sense, I never saw a semi. Delivery trucks, yes, but semis, never. And because the bridge was older and narrow, and it had entrances that, and exits that were too close together, can we have the next slide? Sometimes it would look like this, especially at rush hour. And if there was an accident or some of the frequent repairs that had needed to be made, this often happened. I once sat for an hour waiting to get across the bridge because of an accident. Fortunately, I was not on my way to church. I was going home. But so obviously, you can see on one side of the picture there are those red cranes that are on a barge there. They were being used to help put in the pilings. But now, can we have the next slide? This is the new bridge. And you can see the old bridge next to it. You can see the difference. These two bridges made me, for some reason, spoke to me of what our human spiritual experience, or at least mine, is sometimes like. When I'm trying to function on my own, I'm like that old bridge. The communication between God and me, it gets backed up pretty badly sometimes. I also thought it's, you know, when you think of the Old Testament, at the Hebrews reading today started out that, you know, at various times in various ways God spoke to us through the prophets, but people still had trouble getting the message right. Sometimes even the prophets were a bit confused about it, and things were log jams, and there wasn't a free flow of God's grace and spirit between us and humanity. The new bridge is 4 lanes wide going in both directions. And that's more my image of how our life with Christ is. That's why Christ came, so that the life of God, the blessings of God, our prayers, our thoughts, our needs could flow freely back and forth. That's what the incarnation is about. Jesus came to be representative is one idea, but also bridge. The bridge that connects us between God, connects us to God, connects earth and heaven. I sort of think of it like this, if I extend the metaphor out, that there is 4 lanes going one direction in which God's grace and blessings are coming to me, and God's teaching is coming to me. God's spirit is coming to me. And there's another direction in which my praise and my prayers and my hopes and needs are flowing to God. And Jesus is at the center of it, like those arches holding it all up so that grace and hope can flow, so that we feel the connection with God, so that we experience ourselves as joint heirs of the kingdom. That's become sort of my metaphor, at least for this period of time. I don't know how well it works for you, to be perfectly honest. We all have different images that we have in our heads, but I offer this one to you as a way of thinking about what Jesus coming into the world, Jesus' incarnation, means for us. Flowing connection between God and us. Not backed up traffic, but a flowing of grace, a flowing of God's promises, a flowing of hope, a flowing back of praise in song and prayer and service and just plain love. Jesus is our representative, but he's also one, our bridge, our connection. So I hope that image will help you in the coming year to think about your relationship with God. While I was working on the sermon, I came across a poem by Alfred Lord Tennyson. And it's called Ring In. I forgot to turn my pages. It's called Ring Out the Old.